and to Washington, D.C., and Linda Kenyon.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, those African parrots can get pretty cheeky.
Yeah, they African greys. Yeah. I know because, you know, there was one that my mother-in-law had, and it would make knocking sounds, like somebody's knocking at the door. Yeah. Who's there? You know, stuff like that. You go, and it led me to believe that they memorize a word that keys off of some sort of a sound, like a telephone ringing or that kind of a thing.
Kind of gone beyond Polly Wants a Cracker, huh?
Yeah, I never could, get him to say that.
Well,
my mom tells a story about how she had a parrot and her mother was visiting one time, and she got up in the middle of the night, went to the kitchen to get a drink of water, and she didn't know that there was a talking parrot in the kitchen, and she heard, "Hello, sweetheart."
Oh, man. I thought you were the only one there. That would be something.
Scared her to death. Yeah.
Well, we're at day number 6 of the government shutdown now, and nobody's laughing.
No, nobody's laughing. It's not funny. The president has posted some memes and AI videos and was questioned about that regarding the shutdown last week on Friday during the White House press briefing. And the press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, said, "Well, the president likes to have a little fun." To which the reply was from the press corps, "Does the president think this is funny?" Well, if you're a federal worker, you probably don't think this is funny, especially now that President Trump says that he's going to use this opportunity to impose even more layoffs of federal workers. Hundreds of thousands of federal workers will let go through the Department of Government Efficiency. Now they're furloughed because of the government shutdown, and there does not seem to be any end in sight. With presently, the House is out of session. The Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, says he's not going to bring the House back into session because they already passed a short-term continuing resolution, a short-term budget bill, which means the Senate has to pass it for the government to reopen. And the impasse continues because the Senate Republicans, although they're the majority, they don't have a supermajority. They need 60 votes to pass the bill. And in the House, it's different. It was just a simple majority, and it passed with no Democratic votes. But in the Senate, there's going to have to be some crossing of party lines, and the Senate Democrats say, "We are not going to agree to pass this bill until you agree, Republicans, to talk about extending the health care subsidies through the Affordable Care Act." If those subsidies are not continued, that means hundreds of thousands, if not more, of Americans who buy their health insurance through the Affordable Care Act will no longer be able to afford their health care. And this is a very real concern that has been something that has kept the federal government from reopening.
Linda, settle something that Robin and I were discussing this morning, and I thought I was right, but maybe I wasn't. Is there a situation where the Senate could pass this with a simple majority as opposed to the 60 votes?
No, right now it takes 60. There are some things in the Senate that can pass with a simple majority, and that includes presidential nominations with the exception of the Supreme Court. But this will require 60. It has to get through the process called cloture, and if it can't get through that, which requires 60, then it can't go on to final passage, which would require a simple majority.
A filibuster wouldn't do that?
A filibuster is pretty much the same thing. When even just the threat of a filibuster can hold something at bay from proceeding. In this case, from proceeding to a cloture vote.
So there is no way out.
Well, there's a way out if there are some promises made or some agreement on the part of the Democrats to, in this case, in air quotes here, give in. The Democrats say they're not going to give in because this is the only leverage that they have. They do remind Republicans from red states that if voters lose their health care, it's going to come down very hard, not just in blue states, but in red states as well. And this is going to be a bad situation. The Republicans are saying we'll talk about that later. And the Democrats are saying that amounts to saying never. When you say you're going to talk about that later, that you're really saying you're not going to talk about it at all. They say that this is not something that they can compromise on.
So it just is going to go on and on here until somebody blinks.
Well, there's going to have to be some assurances enough for the Democrats to say we are. We've gotten some assurances that this will be discussed quickly. Maybe not on this bill, but a promise that'll be discussed very soon in the near future. Those subsidies are going to run out at the end of the year. Congress does tend to move, if you will, at a glacial pace, and so the end of the year will be here before you know it.
Let's turn to the National Guard and how it is being used in some of our cities. Robin, of course, is very concerned because his hometown of Portland, Oregon, looks like it's going to get a visit from the National Guard.
Yeah, well, it looks like it. However, presently, there was a judge who, by the way, was appointed by President Trump, has issued a temporary restraining order preventing the mobilization of the National Guard in Portland, Oregon. The judge's decision, and this is a quote, said, quote, "This is a nation of constitutional law, not martial law." Now, there have been protests around some government buildings, most notably the ICE headquarters. And those protests, from what we are seeing and from what residents say, there are peaceful, and that the calling in of the National Guard is performative and not necessary. We spoke to a resident yesterday who said that this is trying to look for a problem when there is none. But the president says there is a problem, and he wants to call in the National Guard. Now, I'm sure that he's going to appeal this restraining order that says that he cannot call in the National Guard in Portland. And we're going to have to see how that plays out. But there is a bit of a push and shove, legally right now over whether that can actually happen in Portland. It can happen perhaps in other cities. It's happened in Washington, D.C., despite objections of the residents, many of the residents who live there. There is the discussion of bringing them in Chicago, much to the dismay of the governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, and the mayor of Chicago.
Okay, now, John and I were talking earlier. I have friends in Portland. War zone, they can't find the war zone. You know, they're having picnics at the seawall down in, but, you know, the problem apparently is isolated to the demonstrations around the ICE building. And that's...
Yeah. I was told that was just a one block area.
Yeah, it's a very small area, pinpointed.
Yeah.
But the president, we had audio this morning saying it's burning to the ground. Are there fires or something? And John said, well, I think what people are seeing is old video. And, maybe that's what the president does. He watches a lot of TV, I understand. But
Yeah, I have not. I know that the president does like to use social media quite a bit and say things that are often questioned later. But in this case, I have not received any information about any real violence going on in Portland. But you can correct me if I'm wrong. And so far, all I see is people saying, where's the problem?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm wondering, you're there in Washington, and so you see the politicians when they're in town. They're the House is on a break right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the Senate away, too?
The Senate is coming, is in today. They're going to try and vote again today on lifting that government shutdown. I don't see that the vote is going to change any because so far the Republicans have said they're not going to open up discussions on the Democratic concerns.
What about the idea of using California National Guard as opposed to using Oregon National Guard?
Well, the president, if there is a national emergency, can... The governor of a particular state can ask the president to call in the National Guard, and they could come in from several other states. The use of National Guard troops in California is not being welcomed at all. you know, when they called in the National Guard in Washington, D.C., I sort of surveyed the guys that I saw, and I was like, hey, what state are you from? And they were from all over the place, including, for example, South Carolina, which isn't really all that close to D.C. So they could come in from various other states. Things were different in D.C. That was a federal district, not a state. In states, it's the governor who has jurisdiction over the National Guard and can request help from the federal government.
Is it possible that we could see an end of this war with Israel and Hamas?
Well, anything's possible. I mean, war in the Middle East has always been sort of one of those unfortunate oxymorons that it might never happen. They've been fighting for centuries. This latest situation in Gaza, by the way, today is October 6th. Tomorrow is the 2-year anniversary of the Hamas attack against Israel, where the civilians were slaughtered not only at a music festival, but at a housing area. And so this talk that's going on in Cairo today to end the war in Gaza is very not only concrete, but very symbolic, coming on the second anniversary of the attack. Israel says that it wants peace. The president of the United States put forth a 20 to 21 plan peace plan. He has sent the special envoy Steve Witkoff to Cairo today, along with his son-in-law Jared Kushner, who has various business interests in the Middle East, but has been is certainly in the first Trump administration very involved in Middle East policies. And the two of them are there in Cairo today to try and move this deal forward. It would include Hamas releasing all the hostages. Hamas wants some assurances that if they do that, Israel's not going to start up, the war against them again if there is a ceasefire, and that they feel is their only leverage. So this is a tough one. This is a very, very tough one. Everybody says they want peace, but Hamas is saying, we still need to negotiate some of the finer points, including that issue that I just brought
up. Now, I've heard mentioned 250 hostages. That's what Netanyahu says they need to have released. When were these people taken hostage?
They were taken hostage on October 7th.
Okay. So this...
And some of them actually were soldiers who were taken after Israel started the incursion, but most of them were taken on October 7th when Hamas attacked Israel.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Linda, as always, we appreciate your great reporting, and thank you for drilling down for us this morning.
You're welcome. Have a good one.